It is January the 14th. We have seven games. We have maybe some returning Nets players. Kyrie Irving maybe returning. Emmanuel Quickley likely going to miss some more time here. And Joel Embiid still sidelined. This is the Tuesday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and subscribe to our channel, download our episodes, do all of that stuff. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Go and follow them as well. Lots of good shows over there, including ours, but there are a lot of others as well. All right, there was no post-game show last night. Work just got really hectic yesterday. I had a massive headache. I think I was in bed by about 9 o'clock, which is about 3 hours earlier than normal for me. So obviously just needed a bit of a reset. I didn't do a show. All right, let's get into these games. Seven of them tonight. Cleveland at Indiana for the first game. The Cavs rolling with their usual stuff, no injuries. Nothing that matters. Ty Jerome, doubtful, doesn't matter. They will look to bounce back, obviously, after their loss in the last game. Max Strus, Caris LeVert are our streaming targets here. Beyond that, no thank you. For the Pacers, though, there is obviously a little bit of news here. Tyrese Haliburton, doubtful. Surely he doesn't play. I mean, it's the Pacers, who knows, but assuming that he doesn't play and common sense prevails and he will potentially not play for a couple of weeks, we are looking at Andrew Nembhard, so go and add him if he's available. Next would be, although I think Ben Shepherd will start, I think I'd still rather look at TJ McConnell for streaming purposes. Shepherd and Mathurin are sort of the same player, so I guess if Mathurin's not shooting the ball well, maybe Shepherd gets hot. But I'd still rather McConnell. We know in 22, 24 minutes, he can give you six assists, two steals, 10 points. He shoots efficiently. So McConnell would be the flyer here. Obi Toppin, look, maybe they play a little bit more of him and go with some bigger lineups, especially against this Cavs team. So Toppin, yeah, maybe. Jarris Walker has played well of late, but not consistent enough, I don't think, that we need to be adding him. All right. OKC at Philly for the Thunder. Alex Caruso just wasn't even questionable. He was just not injured anymore. So, okay. Do we go and add him? Look, steals, by all means, stream him in if that's all you need. But this was the third absence, I think, because of this hip injury. So I'd say they're going to be pretty cautious with him. He wasn't really playing more than about 22 minutes anyway. I think that probably the bigger takeaway from him coming back is that it takes a little bit off the top when it comes to value for Kaysen Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe, because it's just another guy in that rotation. I think I'd still have Wallace as my preferred target out of all of those guys. Lou Dort as well, I guess. Then it's Caruso if you need steals, Isaiah Joe if you need threes. Wiggins has been playing well, but I feel he's the most, what's the word? I don't know what the word. Anyway, he is the least trustworthy, I think. So if he comes on, he's not playing well, he'll play 12 minutes, where I think Caruso, Isaiah Joe, they're fairly solid in their playing time. For the Sixers, no Joel Embiid again, no Andre Drummond. Tyrese Maxey is questionable. That's obviously a big one. If he doesn't play, Paul George should play. Caleb Martin likely to return as well, but we will see. So Kelly Oubre, he should continue being rostered. Eric Gordon started that last game. I just don't think I can tell you to go and add Eric Gordon. Surely not. But, I mean, if Maxey's out, if Martin does miss again, I'd probably rather Reggie Jackson, to be honest. I think if Maxey is out, they probably start Reggie Jackson. He's obviously more of a ball handler. So maybe if Maxey's out, you want to go and give Jackson a bit of a look there. Eric Gordon, if you need threes. Yabusele should continue to play strong enough minutes that he should be rostered. The production is up and down, but the opportunity is there. But keep in mind, they are up against the Thunder here. So always a tough matchup against this team. Phoenix at Atlanta. Phoenix without Yusuf Nurkic, of course. Grayson Allen is probable. Plumlee will start, we assume he will continue to start, but Iguodaro, who's been playing more minutes than him, has looked better than him, so I don't mind him as an ad slash stream just to see what happens. Grayson Allen, if you need threes. Royce O'Neal is obviously back now. I think he's worth streaming in as well. I won't call him an ad yet, but after tonight, depending on what his minutes look like, he could move into that territory. It's sort of, I think his value depends on how much they lean into Ryan Dunn and how well Ryan Dunn is playing as the starter. If Ryan Dunn's not playing well, they will just roll Royce O'Neal out in that role. So Dunn, I think, also can be streamed in or picked up, but I'm not as excited as I am about Iguodaro when it comes to Dunn. Let's have a look at what they look like tonight and check back in the post-game show. Trae Young is questionable. He made shoot around, though. I think I just read. Oh, I don't want to hang on. I don't need Jeremy Sochan up there. I thought I saw something about Trae somewhere that he made shoot around. Yes, made shoot around. So that's a good sign. Hopefully he plays. Bogdan Bogdanovic also questionable. He's just going to be questionable, I think, for the rest of the season, pretty much. Vete Krejci, he's been okay with Jalen Johnson out. Deeper leagues, maybe you want to go and look at him. I'd have him over Richey, I think. Onyeka Okongwu still hasn't really made the most of this opportunity. Stream him in, pick him up, whatever you want to do. I'm losing faith in him, but I don't know. I like to be a glass half full kind of person. So I will still give him the benefit of the doubt and think that he can turn into something fantasy worthy. The Pelicans up against the Bulls. DeJounte Murray will play. He was questionable with a elbow, I think, and calf or something, but he will play. Zion, of course, is back. Trey Murphy is healthy. Healthy, touch wood. So Eve Misi has obviously taken a bit of a hit here. Let's have a look at his role again. He's trending towards being more of a streamer specialist. In certain builds, he might be a hold if you just need blocks and rebounds. Alvarado said, I streamed him in the last game for steals and he got zero steals in about 11 minutes. So I think he's still a stream target, but I'd certainly rather someone like a TJ McConnell tonight or an Alex Caruso. Javonte Green has sort of been in the rotation, but not, he does bits and pieces, but they're relatively healthy now. It's really just Brandon Ingram to come back. Herb Jones is likely out for the season or a significant portion of the season. For the Bulls, Kobe White questionable. Ayo Dosunmu also questionable. So we would assume that Kobe White, if he plays, will move straight back into the starting lineup and Lonzo Ball will move to the bench. But what we want to watch here is how, if both players are back, how does that impact Lonzo Ball? Because he started in that last game. He's pushed up to about 25, 26 minutes. Does he go back to 20? We haven't really had a good look at Lonzo with Dosunmu in the lineup. They've sort of missed each other in terms of playing. Lonzo was injured, then Dosunmu got injured. So this will be a good look at what that looks like. Obviously, Dosunmu could be eased back in. He could be on a bit of a restriction. He had been a must-roster player before the injury, but Lonzo is now back and playing well. So I think you could stream Dosunmu in for tonight, see how much he plays. I would hold Lonzo because he only needs about 22 minutes. So if he can stick at that range, I think he'll be okay. And then Patrick Williams, we can move on from him. Everyone else, we just roster as per normal. Sacramento at Milwaukee. If you went and dropped Keon Ellis, which was probably the right move, we talked about it, you probably want to go and add him again. Malik Monk is out with groin. Is that what it was? Who am I looking for? Malik Monk, where are you? Yes, groin. Well, okay, groin soreness. Just soreness. Let's see what it looks. See if this is more than soreness. Assuming he maybe misses a week here, 2 weeks with a groin, then we get another 2 weeks of Keon Ellis. So I would go and add him again for now. Herder will get a little bit of a bump, but I think it's Devin Carter who plays more deeper leagues. Maybe you give Carter a look, but Ellis would be the priority there for the Bucks. Middleton is out. This is just rest management sort of thing. Giannis, he will probably play. So with him playing, with Lillard playing, maybe Lopez can do something in this game. Again, AJ Green, Gary Trent are our three-point stream targets, but Trent is also questionable. So I said in the last game I thought Green might do a bit more with Trent out. He didn't really do that. But again, I would look at him, especially if Trent is out, if you need threes tonight. Denver, fix that up a bit. Denver at Dallas. For the Nuggets, Jamal Murray is probable. Jokic is probable. This illness that keeps going on and on and on. Julian Strouther is probable. Aaron Gordon is probable. I think Aaron Gordon will probably play. He'll just be probable moving forward. He could be a tough guy to hold for the next 2 weeks because I do think we talked about this a couple of days ago. I think Gordon could stick on the bench for a few weeks. It was a second, the same injury happened twice. So they're going to be really cautious here. So Peyton Watson could remain relevant and I think Westbrook remains the starter. So we stick with Westbrook, make no changes. Christian Brown could be the one that takes the hit here. Eventually, he's probably still a hold, very borderline. But if Watson continues to play well, Strouther is playing better, and Gordon will ramp up, I just think it could be Brown that I don't think they move him out of the starting lineup, but he could be a 22 to 24, 25 minute per night player, rather than that 30-plus we were seeing early in the season. Things have changed in Denver. For the Mavs, Kyrie Irving questionable with his back injury, so that's obviously a big one. If he is back, then we have very little interest in Jaden Hardy. I would still hold Grimes, Dinwiddie, Marshall, because we were looking at all of those guys before the Irving injury. Their value was tied in initially to the Luka Doncic injury, and Doncic is obviously not back. So I would be holding them. Obviously, there's a little less for them to do if Kyrie's back, but I think they can still be worthwhile in 12-team leagues. Najee Marshall also, as long as he's starting, he typically does enough. Klay Thompson coming off a very good game, which was good to see if you've held him through all of the trash that he was putting up. Hopefully he can build on that. We'll see how he goes tonight. Lively, I mean, I don't know if we need to talk about Lively anymore. He's pretty clear hold. Gafford, probably just a streamer at this point. Brooklyn at Portland. The Nets could have a few guys coming back here. We will see. Ben Simmons is questionable. Well, he's not coming back, but both he and Claxton are questionable. I would assume that they miss either tonight or tomorrow. It's they're on a back-to-back. Cam Johnson and D'Angelo Russell also questionable to return. Cam Johnson made shoot around, I believe. I saw that just before I jumped on. Oh, come on. Cam Johnson made shoot around. That's a good sign. It means that they are he's trending towards playing, as is D'Angelo Russell, who made shoot around. Doesn't mean they will, but it does mean that they're sort of they're there, they're with the team. I guess the opinion at the moment would be that barring a setback, barring a niggle, anything like that, they will play. Keep an eye on it. The issue tonight, obviously, they play a late game, not an early game. So if your lineups lock early, makes it tricky, but hopefully there's some flexibility there for you. So if Russell is back, if Johnson is back, if Claxton plays, if Simmons plays, then, well, Keon Johnson had probably been one of the more consistent guys, but was bad in that last game and just didn't really play a lot. I still think he is okay as a 12-team option, as is Noah Clowney. I know he was very, very bad in that last game, but the he played 32 minutes. So if we look at just opportunity here, I think he will be the one getting the opportunity. Zaire Williams has looked pretty good. He will probably move to the bench, but I don't mind holding him. And then Jalen Wilson, Dayron Sharp. Obviously, if Claxton's out, we give Sharp a good look. So it's really a lot of question marks here for the Nets. But good to see Russell. Good to see Cam Johnson potentially returning. For the Blazers, Denny Avdia is questionable. DeAndre Ayton has sobered up. He will play tonight, which means that Donovan Klingon is probably a drop. You could hold him. What we want to see is whether they are making that transition into Donovan Klingon a little bit more. We've seen snippets of them potentially doing it, but not to the point where I think we need to roster Klingon in every league. But you could hold him for tonight and see. Scoot Henderson was pretty bad in that last game. I do think he is a hold as well, as is Tamani Kamara, who, much like Nick Claxton, Noah Clowney, he's getting minutes. He's starting. He's been consistent in that regard. So I would be holding Tamani Kamara. If Denny Avdia is out, it's probably... I mean, they could bring Scoot Henderson in, but I think it might be Chris Murray. He seems to be in favour at the moment, so it might be Chris Murray that moves in. And deeper leagues, maybe you want to give him a look. And that's all the games. Let's get to the questions very quickly. All right, Alex, what have you got to say? Chet was getting shots up at shoot-around strength conditioning before he returns. There's always a possibility that he comes back early. This injury is not a common one. It's not an ankle. It's not a knee. It was a hip, quite a severe hip one. So, look, we don't know. We don't really have a lot to compare this to. But as you're right, they will not rush him. They absolutely don't need to rush him. So the fact he's back and doing stuff is good, but I still don't see him coming back before the All-Star break. The ramp up for Paolo was 2 weeks on his injury. So I would think minimum of 2 weeks for Chet. And that's once his designation has changed, which it hasn't. Franz Wagner's has, for those keeping score. His designation has changed to conditioning, recovery, whatever it is. So that would tell us that he could return before the All-Star break. As I said, Paolo's return to injury was 2 weeks, a return from injury. So if we project forward 2 weeks, then we're, end of January? So maybe we do get Franz back a little earlier than I thought, which is great. But as for Chet, I don't think that we would get him back before the All-Star break. Gurkham Hi, Kingy. What do you think about Isaac's emergence? Do I think Goga's minutes may decrease even if he is back? Oh, it's tough to get a read on this Orlando rotation at the moment. And obviously with Franz coming back, it complicates things. I think Goga will continue to start. That's my opinion. He certainly won't be playing the 35 minutes he was playing like 2-3 weeks ago because they just don't need him to. Isaac is the interesting one here. I don't think any of us thought that they would push him to 27 minutes. There was just no indication that that was coming. It was sort of forced in that last game, but the fact that he did it, he came through unscathed, he played well, might give them a little bit of confidence in him moving forward. So I do think Goga's minutes could decrease, but I do think he continues to start and he's probably going to be a 12-team guy the rest of the way. Chad, what do I think the odds of Cam playing? Yeah, like I said, I think it's decent enough. The fact he's there at shoot around is good. So they are on a back-to-back, so I think even if he plays tonight, he probably won't play tomorrow. But we'll see. I mean, this is just an ankle injury. So again, my theory of injuries is that you shouldn't be coming back until you're 100%. And if you're 100%, why would you need to sit a back-to-back? But, of course, we know that's not the case. So I think he plays one of the two. Whether they decide to sort of stagger he and D'Angelo Russell, maybe one tonight, one tomorrow, I don't know. We'll get some clarity, obviously, later tonight. But I think there's a chance he plays tonight. Alex, hope you're feeling better. Yeah, look, I am. And it's... I said work was just busy, and I think the night before, I think I've talked about it before. I sleep with a CPAP machine, so I'm an old snory man. So I do need my CPAP machine, and when I don't have it on, and sometimes I just take it off when I'm asleep, and I don't realise it. It doesn't end well for me the next day. So last night, good night's sleep. So feeling better today. Another one from Gurkham. Am I saying that right, Gurkham? Let me know if I am. Besides, what do I think the odds of Kyrie and D'Lo sitting one of the back-to-backs? Yeah, good. D'Lo, yes. I think he definitely sits one of the two back-to-backs. And if the Mavs have a back-to-back, which I'm assuming they do because you've said Kyrie, and I know there are 11 games tomorrow. Dallas. Oh, yeah, they play the Pelicans tomorrow. So, yes, I think Kyrie definitely sits one of the two. A back injury, yes, he will. Who would I prefer, O'Neal or Isaiah Stewart from Matt Carmody? I think O'Neal. Yeah, I think Royce O'Neal there. Chinchilla, in a 10-team points league, who's better upside, Brandon Miller or Amen? Tari. Yeah, it's a good question. I think right now it's probably a men, maybe. I don't know. It's pretty close. I think it's close enough that it doesn't matter. I guess if we are splitting hairs and looking long-term rest of season, it's probably Brandon Miller because Amen, eventually you would think Tari Eason will come back, Jabari Smith will come back. And we saw like a month ago, Amen was only playing 25 minutes a night. Brandon Miller is locked in big minutes every night. But on the flip side, the Hornets are trash and they could tank, they could rest Brandon Miller. He could get fake injured, real injured. Where the Rockets they're pushing for a top two seed in the West. So Amen Thompson is a big part of what they're doing. So I think you could make a case for both. I think assuming Miller isn't shut down, he is probably the slightly safer option, but I think it's pretty close. Alex, temperature check on my Sixers. More interested in watching Washington. Oh, that's sad, but I get it. The Sixers are hard to watch at the moment. Another question from Gurkham. Do I expect any changes in the Suns lineup after Royce is back? I don't think so. Other than it might mean that Dunn plays a little less, but I think he starts. I think he is in as their starter now. They made that pretty clear. I guess they could move away from him at some point, but as of right now, I think Dunn sticks in the starting lineup. Shining Knight loves men. Yes, that's the issue with him. He doesn't space the floor very well. He's getting better. Yeah, Monk must have had a good night. Of course he did. Rockets are bad in threes. Hello, Albert. Thank you for joining us, as always. The Nuggets, Locked on Nuggets. Oh, this is from Cookie Monster. Locked on Nuggets, guys. Keep stating the fact they want Westbrook in a bench role. Yeah, look, I can see why you would want Westbrook in a bench role. I think the purists, the Nuggets purists, which these guys obviously are, would really be into Jamal Murray. That makes sense. And Brown. It looks like Braun to me, but Brown. But I obviously they don't make the decisions, and the Nuggets have looked, I think, pretty good with Westbrook in the starting lineup. So, yeah, look, I'm certainly not the biggest Westbrook guy. Never have been. But in saying that, he has looked so good this year, and he just looks to be at a point, I think, in his career where he doesn't feel as entitled. Maybe that's the right word. I don't know. So he used to, I mean, a lot of players complain and whinge and whatever. He just seems to be playing basketball. He just seems pretty focused. He's enjoying himself. So it's almost like he's hit that point in his career where he's switched from superstar pressure to a role player, but a very good role player. That's what it looks like anyway to me. So, yeah, I've been really impressed with him this year. Cam being back is a disaster for Zaire minutes. Yeah, look, it's not great. I'm going to hold Zaire, but, yeah, all of those guys I think are going to be a little bit risky. Yes, Cookie Monster, I know you've been holding on to D'Lo. Look, he will play up to his potential. I mean, we saw what he did. Do I expect him to play 30? Look, he could. I mean, we don't really know a lot about what this injury was. It was a shin, I think. Yeah, so that doesn't sound like a strain. It could have been more of a contusion, like he just got a bit of a bone bruise or something like that. I'm not sure. So I think there's a chance he plays 30, but then we'll obviously maybe sit one of those two games. Will Lonzo Ball play the back-to-back? Oh, I think he might. I think he may have played. Let me just, where are you, Lonzo? I'm sure he's played in a back-to-back. Oh, what am I doing? Where's Chicago? Oh, here we go. Let me just have a look at whether he has. Come on. Okay, Lonzo. Oh, where's your game log? 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 1. 28. Oh, maybe he hasn't. Maybe they haven't had a 21, 19, 16, 13, 8, 6, 2. Okay, so no, maybe he hasn't played. He missed a couple of games there. That wasn't. Look, yeah, I mean, he's played in every game since returning at the end of last year. They just haven't really had any back-to-backs. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think he might. I would say maybe 60-40 that he does. Do I think Monk's injury is serious? Was looking to trade for him. I don't know, actually. This sort of, I mean, groin is always tricky, as we know, and I think should be at least 1 to 2 weeks minimum. So I probably wouldn't be looking to trade for him at this point. CPAP machines are alive. Yeah, they are. I have to take it everywhere with me when I go, like when I travel overseas or anything like that. I always have my little bag with me. And interesting story. Have we got time? We've got time. Interesting story. I was at an airport in, I think it was New Orleans, but I can't remember. No, maybe it wasn't. Anyway, maybe it was Dallas. I don't know. I was at an airport when I was over in the States last year before, and the CPAP machine comes in a bag. It's sort of, I'm going to talk centimeters. It's about a foot wide. Yeah, maybe a foot wide and sort of so high. And anyway, I carry it with me. It's carry-on. I'm allowed to take it with me on the plane. It's sort of extra medical, whatever. So I had it on my shoulder, and when I was checking my bags through my suitcase, I put it on the floor with my – oh, no, I probably left my backpack on. So I put it on the floor because it just hangs over my shoulder. And we did all the stuff, did all the checking in. They did the bags and stuff. And then, of course, I'm there with a friend, so we're talking, and we just walked off, and we got into the line where we do our carry-on and go through the scanners and all of that sort of stuff. And we got sort of halfway through the line, and I thought, oh, crap, I've left – my CPAP machine at the check-in counter. So I had to jump out of the line, and I went and I spoke to one of the ladies who was sitting there, and she asked me, do I know where it is? I said, yep, I know exactly where it is. We walked over, and as we were getting closer to the desk where we'd signed in, there were cops there. There was security there. And I've gone, oh, shit. And, of course, abandoned bag sitting at the check-in doesn't look good. And we went up to them, and I said, that's mine. And nothing happened. I'm lucky I wasn't at LAX or something, I think. But, yeah, they just said, yeah, remember to take it with you. But it had to be scanned and all this stuff. And so, yeah, note to self, don't leave that on the floor. And now whenever I travel, I don't put it down. I hold it because it could have ended a lot worse for me. I was very lucky. Have I let the intrusive thoughts win and done your best Bane impersonation? I have not. No, I have not. Sadly, maybe. Amen has a better chance of being the best guy on the court for his team. Yeah, look, Amen, I think, has probably more upside. But I do think that, like I said, I think Miller is a little bit safer in terms of his role, but could also be shut down. Any sell high on a man? If you could move him for a top 40, you could consider it, but I'm not moving him anywhere. I just love having him on my team too much. Hoi, is it Hoi Nguyen? Maybe. G'day, Kingy. I'm sitting fourth in a 10-team 9-cat finals ending 30th of March. Luka has a 4-game week. Do you think it's worth sending an offer for Luka? Yeah, you could. I mean, it's a bit of a buy low at the moment on Luka, obviously. So now would be the time. If you're sitting fourth, you're probably going to be without Luka for, I don't think he's back before the All-Star break. So you probably get him back with maybe 2 weeks left in the regular season. If you think you can hold on, look, I'd probably send out a top... maybe top 50 player for him, top 40. I don't know if you'd get him. Just send something out and see what they say. Just say, I'm interested in Luka. It would also depend on where that team is sitting. If the team with Luka is sitting lower in the standings, then they're more likely to move him. If they're sitting first or second, they're not going to move him. So send out an offer, see what they come back with. Shining Knight has been watching the test documentary, and you actually like the Aussie cricket team. Well, that's good to know. I don't know if we've been thrashing you for decades, so you're an Indian fan. I love the Australia-India rivalry. I know Australia-England is a big thing, the Ashes and that sort of thing, but personally, I like the Australia-India rivalry better. I think it's more... I won't say heated. I just think it's a better rivalry. The Ashes sort of has a lot more history, but we tend to beat England a bit easier. So, Okay, so something. Oh, this is just from Chad. Ignore any locked on content calling them industry feels dirty. Yeah, look, it's. I listen to some of the locked on guys. Obviously, I listen to Josh. He's a locked on guy. And I know a few of the locked on hosts. I don't listen to all of the shows, so I couldn't. I'm fairly neutral, I think, when it comes to that. And look, I mean, I'm sure people say that don't listen to Balls Deep as well. So it's, yeah, again, everyone with their opinion. Vassell had a rare game where he started and finished strong. He did. I was at work, as I said yesterday, but I was watching the box scores and he started well, and I thought, here we go again. But he finished well, 23 points, I think. He had a couple of steals, 50% from the field. I'd love it if we could get this. Yardship, would I trade away Brook Lopez for Chris Paul? Yeah, look, obviously you're fully aware here of the change in stat set. If you're already second in assists, I probably wouldn't. I think overall, if we were just sort of broadly speaking, I would say yes. But if you're second in assists already, Chris Paul would obviously push you to first, but blocks are one of those harder categories to find on the wire, consistent blocks. So I think that hit you take. And Lopez, look, his role is very secure here. The Bucks are pushing for the playoffs. So although he hasn't been super great, he still gets blocks that he can fall back on that. So I don't think I would if you're second in assists. Yes, I did feel, if that's in regards to the CPAP machine at the counter, it was, the annoying thing was then I had to go and line up again. And I had to, was it that one? I had to walk all the way around. Like, they couldn't get me back into that line. Anyway, it was, we got there. We made our flight wherever we were going. You're a brown guy with a beard. If you left a bag, you'd be taken for questioning. I don't have a beard, actually, but now I can't have one because my CPAP machine only covers my nose, not my mouth. And obviously, I'm a snorer. I open my mouth when I sleep. And I just couldn't have the full face one. It was way too annoying. My dad has it, but I couldn't. So I actually have to tape my mouth shut every night. So I can't have a beard, and which is annoying because I hate shaving and I have to do it like every 2 days now because I have to sticky tape my mouth shut. So there you go. My wife probably appreciates that. Amen and Westbrook in the seven-teamer, should I hold? Yeah, I think you could hold. Yep, I think that's okay. Based on what they're doing now, yes. Io or Nembhard? I'd go Nembhard at the moment with Halliburton out. I know Io had been pretty good, but as I said, Lonzo wasn't playing as well then. So Io was always that guy that we were sort of, he needs 30 minutes and he's very borderline anyway. I think Nembhard is going to be locked in now for 35 minutes and will have the ball in his hands a lot. Shiny Knight grew up watching McGrath, Warne, Punter. Yeah, they were the golden years of Australian cricket. I mean, we're pretty good now, but yeah, that team back then was unstoppable. So Chad said we just got some JV trade news reports. They won't take picks but want pieces to further their rebuild and don't want to eat into a deadly contract. Yeah, look, that makes sense, I guess. Picks, I think, are a bit overrated. So I would, if I was a team, I'd rather get back pieces. There's always so much uncertainty when it comes to picks. I know we talk about these teams that have 20 picks for the next 7 years and things like that. They're not actually going to pick them. They're going to use them to try and trade. But the amount of second-round picks that pay off is pretty low. I can keep very light stubble, but the tape doesn't stick very well. I can, but it's just easier to not, I think. All right. Yeah, probably a no deal involving Zeke Nagy. Yeah, he's I don't think the Wizards would want him. All right. That'll do, I think. Good questions. Thanks, everyone. I'll go and have some breakfast, get ready for work. There will be a post-game show today. I know work won't be as busy. I'm working from home. So, yes, there will be a post-game show. It's looking like – so Trade Talk will be back this week on Friday, but it will be 3 p.m., not 4 p.m. So Raf Johnson will be joining me from 3 p.m., and I'll then do the pre-game show after that. But I'll remind you all closer to the time. But no, the Savo tonight, whatever. I'll be back post-game show. Lots to talk about. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Please, again, go and download and do all of that stuff. I'm sure you all have by now. But, you know, we appreciate it. I'm Adam King. This has been the Bulls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at